Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Here we are. We're live. It's what day is this, Mason? It's Monday. I don't know, July 10th, 2017. I want to say hello all to everybody out there in Facebook Live Land. I see my old friend from the back in the school days. Mark is watching. What's happening, Mark? And the audience is growing. My good friend and producer Lisa is sharing us around, and we are going to make some headway. I'm going to be coming on here right in just 4 minutes and 28 seconds with Goldie Moore. We're going to talk about the Eugene Zorich case. We're going to do this real quick, and I'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Sadie. What's happening, Sadie?
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray, USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwendon, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org. We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, we are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to TheAmericanBrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at TheAmericanBrand.org. That's TheAmericanBrand.org for a lifetime membership, and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Woo! All right, we made it, folks. Here we are. I don't know what's going on here. I got to bring this one here. We are live. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. It's Monday. And we have Andy's watching on the Facebook Live. What's up, Andy? And we have Eugene and Goldie are joining us again. We're going to talk about Eugene's case a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as this is extremely important, what's getting ready to be shaking in America today. And we got a bunch of folks tuning in to the live feed. That's good stuff. Dave, what's up? All right, Goldie and Eugene, good evening.
Good evening, Mark. How are you today?
How you doing, Mark?
I'm sipping a cup of coffee. I'm kicking back and kicking off this show with two of my favorite guests.
I'm really rested. I rested over the weekend, man.
Well, good
slept
for
about
him.
12 hours each day. Oh, I'm feeling good.
Excellent.
Me today, I put out a lot of energy today. I had a day. Yes, I did.
Goldie been up since 3 a.m. working.
Yeah.
I put up zero energy today. I just got off.
No,
that's not true. I got full days
completely.
Later.
We had a conference this morning. Did you forget?
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the lady. We had a lady from Washington.
Yep.
Yeah, we got an insider to bring us in. And I got to bring those other two cases I was talking to you about in because I already put them in. So, I got to do it. And, those two cases I say about the children, the one woman and the one guy. I don't want to get them in any trouble or anything, though, but I already sent that in a long time ago. So what can I say?
Somebody has contacted me in reference to that in one of my groups. Again, I won't say any names until we confirm, but they may be coming on the show. I had posted in their post that you guys were coming on the show tonight, so they may be very well listening right now, and I have no idea. But tonight's show.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because sometimes you just get tired of being rushed and rushed and rushed all the time because you could try to help somebody and give them advice, but you can't just keep rushing and rushing the people that you got getting you in there. Those ain't small people, you know what I mean, Mark?
Yeah.
And you got to take your time.
So now, if people want to go, if people want to go and get their information for themselves, and they want to try to start researching their case to make sure that they're receiving due process in court, there's an affidavit they have to fill out, correct?
Yeah, you got to have an affidavit. Then you can use the Freedom of Information Act because we were told to use that when the person in Washington told us to bring all that stuff in. So I just wanted to get that across, so I can go there with everything, and just show this and see if I can push these and promote these two other cases too. And there's a few other ones too, I guess, but, in public interest, because they got to hear you under public interest and under the First Amendment. But, sometimes you're tired, you're in pain, and things are biting you, people keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and you lose your temper once in a while.
I think what Mark is trying to say is the public wants to know how to help themselves, by obtaining some of these things that you were, going for in your case, the audio tapes in court. Our pages have a lot of information. We don't just have the Eugene Zurich page. We have the hashtag Death of the Justice System tag. We have the hashtag Eugene Zurich case page.
I don't even
know what. They have to cheat you to beat your page. So there's three other pages that have a lot of information on all of this to do this for yourself. People really need to read these things to get more educated. Also, Eugene has his Injustice Exposed page that has a lot of information on it. Also, there's many, many videos. There's about 100 videos with Eugene in it. Seriously. There's so much out there already. It's not funny. And people, can Google a lot of this stuff themselves because it's all been released through the years. Eugene talks about everything for everybody in all of them. But we're going to try to get it all into a few minutes, which isn't going to be easy, here on the show today.
Right.
Everybody is, it's the law of the land that you get your audio recordings for court. What the judges in the courthouses are telling you and doing you is a lie. Plain and simple, a lie. Okay,
right.
They are afforded to you by law. It was ruled on by the Supreme Court of the United States. It is posted on the page. Also, there are other rules and other things in place that are to help you, like Rule 11E. Rule 11E says if everything isn't in your case, you cannot proceed.
The other side can't proceed against you. It's very basically
okay,
simple.
Well,
and then you
right.
got to know
you,
about
Eugene.
The you got to know about the intrinsic and extrinsic fraud. They don't care if anybody's frauding you. It's between you and the other side. It's when you fraud the court. That's when the challenge comes in. So you got to understand the intricacies of this. And you know, you get certain people.
And Eugene,
I'm
going to stop you here real quick. Explain to them, just like you explained to me, okay, how when they fraud the court, okay, like perjury is when a lawyer commits perjury, they're frauding their own court. What
yes.
else is there for these people
no.
look for?
When you send the things up the wrong transcript, when they forge it, even when your lawyer does something that's wrong, you're frauding the court then. And that's why they got it up there, murder, kidnapping, and fraud upon the court. Remember how they say this, you know, fraud upon the court, by the court. So basically, we even got the Supreme Court doing things they shouldn't do. We could just say maybe it's their clerks just to give them a way out, but I don't know because we already wrote them and told them about the fraud already. So basically, when the Supreme Court isn't doing its job, then you got to go to the Attorney General who makes them do their job and then makes them pay you. See? And that's why I needed everything from the two people I needed, and they, you know, it was just a hard time getting everything, you know. So it's basically a lot of logic and a lot of BS they're giving you out there. Because one of them is telling you you can't get your tapes, and then you go to the Supreme Court and you ask for your tapes, and they're going to tell you, well, we don't have to rule on that because we already ruled on it. So you're going back and forth like a bouncing ball. So what I was doing by being up there with the writ of certiorari is I'm going in after my boss went in, and now I'm asking for the tapes that they won't give me. I'm not asking for the tapes. I'm saying they won't give them to me. Now they have to make a decision on that. If they don't, then the Attorney General will make a decision on that. And if I get in, like, you know, to see him, which was a special person, and this other thing, and see Trump, then I'm going to tell him, because that will make them guilty, too, of knowing after the fact of the fraud. See, so when somebody's telling there's no tapes, they're lying to you. I mean, what else can I say to you? You know what I mean? It's just that simple. And basically, you write a Freedom of Information Act, that's probably not going to work. Then you write an affidavit, but the affidavit is really powerful because you have to answer an affidavit. What an affidavit. So it would mean one of us is lying and one is committing perjury. And I know it ain't going to be me. So the point is, and if they don't do it, then they'll deal with you. See, I still got to go in there to see what I can do and what I can arrange with all this because, you know, you know people in there and you can talk to people and do it. But sometimes, you know, people rush you so fast that you can't handle it. So basically, Goldie will tell you a lot about this, too, because we talk on it, too, because she does the Internet. I don't do it the Internet because people get too excited. They want to do things a certain way, and then they think it's so simple you can go in and do it. But, you know, you got to use somebody's case to go in first. It's like Roe versus Wade. Now, Roe versus Wade was just a little case, and all of a sudden it's a big deal. Well, if the point goes in there and I make sure that everybody gets their tapes and they can't hold them back, then that's a big deal, too, and that's just a little case. So the point is, when you got the tape and you got the transcript, they're probably not going to add up because they're always cheating anyway. And even if they try to forge it, how are they going to forge it to the exact correct way they got the transcript for it? That's going to be impossible. What they're going to try to do to you is have the court reporter talk on the tape, you know, like off the transcript, and that way it'll be cheating us again. So you got to look for that. And basically, you can't get away with cheating on the tapes because you can actually hear it. You can send it to experts out there that can find that. I got a person out there that knows how to do that too. And you could win your case by just having, looking at the case. Like, you know, I've seen people write briefs like 1,800 pages, 900 pages. I'm going crazy. And, I mean, I won about three or four cases just in arbitration, but I just wanted to write two or three lines. Like, if you're in a hospital and they're trying to make you pay for something, and you turn around and you write, hey, wait a minute, you know, you lost my mother. You know what I mean? That's all. I won the case in arbitration with two lines, just saying, what did you do with my mother? And then I was going to sue him. So then I even got the guy who had the ambulance guy couldn't get his money back by turning around on Medicare and telling him, look, you don't pay this guy, I'm going to go after you for what you did, the damage of losing my mother for 2 or 3 hours. So they took care of him. See, basically you can deal with these people if you know what you're doing, and you just write it in small things. You don't have to write big, gigantic briefs. And here's another thing. Say they forged the cases, okay, like we're talking right now. How do you know that the cases that they're using on you are forged? So in other words, that would make it fraud already, or they're going by some case, this and this case from 1938 or 1958 or 67. How do you know that's not fraud? All you do is ask for the tape and act. If they don't give you that tape, well, then what the heck? They can't be using those cases against you. The point, what's good about my case, is it's a precedent case. There is nothing taped. So in other words, everything that was in that case, you know, when you read the case, and it's really a bad case, I mean, with all the dots and dashes and that, but you'll see a lot of interesting things in there. Like, if you understand what Duff says in there, and this is the federal court, Seventh Circuit, is a decision and it's not been overturned, every judge must help a pro se. A lot of these people come to me and say, my judge wouldn't do that. Well, that's because you're not putting pressure on them to do that. See, the point is they're supposed to do. You bring up the case and you show the case that they got to help you. If you're new at the game and you're doing it, they're supposed to follow up your questions to make sure the court as a referee knows what's going on. So, I mean, basically there's a lot of things, a lot of catchy things where you'd have to ask about this, and you got to know the basic words. Like, did you know there's a whole paragraph on his when Clinton was talking? I mean, there's a whole thing in a general advocate offices where the former Fitzgerald could have nailed him but didn't nail him because he didn't bring up the book. He was coming through the book, and he just didn't nail Clinton. Because there is a thing like, what does is mean? All he had to say to Clinton is, what does is mean to you? You're the guy that did it, and that would have been it for Clinton. See, so they let one another off like that, but everybody doesn't pay attention to the little parts of the cases. Like, you got to know your case right from the first day, right from your deposition, because they're already changing it when they're leaving it out that door. So if you know right there, then you can bring it back to what it is. See, and if you got a good memory, like a photographic memory or that, they can't beat you. It's almost impossible. We had a guy, I don't know if he's going to call in today or not, but he was doing my case, and he was using a red pen to find all the fraud in there. When he got the 70% fraud, he was looking for something that was honest in there. There was nothing honest in there. Everything was fraud. He'll tell you that. Straight out, write you an affidavit on that. I still won the case with all the cheating because you know why? I had the winning hand at the end. I already knew I didn't do the stuff, and I already knew I was proving politics. These other lawyers and people that went in, they couldn't do it. They didn't understand the game. They didn't understand what was going on. So basically,
Eugene,
once you win that, yeah, go ahead.
Welcome to the show, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir. Bill. How are you today? Good afternoon, Mark, and Goldie and Eugene. I'm the guy that read Keene's transcript. It was 542 pages. It took me about 2 weeks to read, and I used three red pens on it, marking it. And
wow.
We started out, Gene kind of got my attention in the first conversation that he basically said, did it ever occur to you that they have to cheat you? And it was a question that went right to my core because I had seen all these events and documents in my case, and I couldn't put it together. As soon as he mentioned that it ever occurred to you that they're cheating you, it started to take a different sense, and I started to see the fraud that was in my case upon Gene's suggestion of the fact that did it ever occur to you that they're cheating. When I read Gene's transcript, I started out with what's true, what's true, what's true, and I kept on getting, this doesn't look right, this doesn't look right, and maybe this is fraud, maybe this is fraud. And when I got up about 60-70%, I asked Gene, I says, well, what isn't fraud? And it just totally changed my perspective to say what is fraud to what isn't fraud. And Gene has guided me with a lot of discussions to be able to pick out the scene and the aspect of the...
I think we lost Bill. You still there, Eugene?
Mark, Gene lost his connection with Goldie. He's piggybacked on me. Go ahead, Gene.
Okay,
all right,
there you go. What you're doing, because I was lost for a couple of minutes there.
All right.
Go ahead, Bill. Where were you at?
Well, now, Bill, did you prove fraud and win your case already?
I'm in the process of proving fraud, and the court hasn't given me an award yet.
Right. But it's right there. You've used this method. You've gone over your tapes and transcripts, and you have found fraud all over it. And now you are going to now go for a judgment in your favor and have whatever the case is dismissed. Can we ask what the case is, or is that still because it's an open case, you can't talk about it?
Well, the case is about a search warrant that was invalid regarding taking my property, and it's still in process right now in California.
Crazy. So here you go, folks. Here's someone who's using Eugene's methods, kind of. We're going to have to keep an eye on this case and see what happens. We want to see these cases that have success using this method so that folks can go, holy crap, it works. It really works. You know, instead of just it being hearsay right now, when they listen to the show and they hear us talking about it, all they're thinking is, yeah, right, that's too easy. Can't be that easy.
No,
take a red pen and go over the transcripts and the tapes and make the marks where fraud is. Can't be that easy, but it is, isn't it?
Yep. It's even because you know from the beginning that they're going to cheat. You know what they're going to do. So you know how to work it. And then when you match one up with the other, then you know exactly what's going on. But they're probably, because Bill had a lot of good cases. Bill, how'd you get this from George? I think George was listening too, my friend George. That was one of the two people that was helping them bring the cases to sessions. And basically, Craig, would George tell you about the show, Bill?
No, not yet, no.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, basically it is that simple. Because you look into the case and you see what's going on and they pull these dots and dots and dashes. And that means they're taking words out of your case. And what set me off is I got the rough draft of the first one. They were forging and cheating. And, like, when I was in my case, you know, Bill Goldie can tell you, too, is they had the transcripts, and they had John Lucille, my boss, in there, and they asked him if he wanted to hand my papers on day three, you know, because he already testified for me in the city. Unfortunately, they stole all his testimony out of the transcripts. They just got it in there that he testified already. Right, Bill?
Yes.
Right on.
So in other words,
hey, Bill, I want to thank you for coming on and adding to the show. Keep us posted. Look for me on the Facebook pages and send me messages from time to time as your case progresses. I'm interested to know the results. Thank you,
sir,
for your...
I'm going to keep Gene on me, and I'll just mute.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah,
all right.
She's still on there. I didn't hear her. I lost her.
Yeah, she. I don't know what happened. She dropped off.
She's not on there?
Yeah, she dropped off. I don't know what happened. I'm having a gigantic rainstorm outside my house right now, actually. It's coming down, cats and dogs. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But and my live feed keeps clicking in and out.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
If George is on the line, too. Is George here with us? Is he from out your neck of the woods, too? Because I got a phone line and it's hot, but all right. Well, I don't think he's with us. Bill's got a case that's going through the courts right now, and he's looking to have a judgment in his favor. So that's good news. whether we agree with his case or we disagree with his case. I don't know what his case is about. I don't know if he broke the law, if he's guilty or innocent. Just the fact that folks who are innocent and deserve to be off can use this method, or folks who are being held as political prisoners against their will because of federal overreach, such as the Bundy case, which goes to trial July 15th here. I think they're selecting juries and stuff now. If they only knew how easy this was, they wouldn't have to go through this mess, and these folks could be free. Oh, my friend Karen's watching. Hello, Karen. Yeah. You know what I mean? We need these folks to understand.
See, when you read all these briefs and everything, they're throwing you into a maze. When they throw you into that maze and they're making you answer all this other stuff, then they got other stuff concocted against you. And there's no way that you can answer some of the stuff they put on you because it didn't happen. And where are you going to get witnesses from? So basically you sit back, let them prove the charges on you and let them bring it out, and then you could explain then what happened. But basically it's sincerely simple. Now, fraud upon the court vitiates everything. So if you pick up fraud there, no matter what's in that case, 1,800 pages of briefs, you got fraud. That throws out the case. I mean, it starts over from the beginning then. See, it's basically not as hard as everybody thinks it is. It's, you know, somebody's looking for an answer from way out there, from a genius from Harvard or something like that, but that ain't the way it works. See, it's the idea of you put into perspective what you got, and you can even ask, like I was telling you last week, yes and no answers, but at the end of the question, they're in trouble because they got to either answer yes to it or no to it. You can always put a question in and throw that at the end, yes or no. That's the same thing. Then what are they going to do? Say, yes, I did it. No, I didn't do it. They could be perjuring themselves, so they're caught. It's basically simple thing and simple logic behind a lot of this. And the court is just right and wrong in common sense. I don't know what happened to Goldie. I don't know what else we got on here, but she was supposed to be doing some talking, too, and I don't know what that happened there. But anyway, getting basically down to it, when you do your case in, you got to remember, ask your lawyer when you go in, am I going to get all the tapes and transcripts or any kind of audio recognition, like they got new stuff now and that. If your lawyer ain't going to give it to you, then, you know, something's wrong there. See, because basically that's your backup. And then you got the master tape. That's a real important tape, because that's what Posner ruled on when we had our book, and what was said in there is that that's the master tape. See, so in other words, that tape is kept in a vault all the time. And that's never given away. It's always there. And your records are always kept all the time, too. They might tell you, like, it's only held for 10 years. But what they're really telling you, if you don't understand, it's held for 10 years in that building. See, it's taken to a warehouse and it's backed up. See, a lot of people don't understand this game. They think just because they read a little bit or they hear what you're saying, they can play it. But you got to know all the key players and everybody's playing how to handle it. You got to read them transcripts. You got to read between the lines. And you got to read what you can use. Like, you can pop into a case, and I can look at it and throw it on the wall, like, you know, just plan it out, and I can see three or four things wrong with there that can turn that case around and win it for you and overturn that case. But, you know, people got to give you time to look at it and understand it and go to the people you know to get in, because don't forget, for the last 30 years or more, we've been dealing with people that have been handling the U.S. attorneys and the FBI, and you're all getting the same form letter that you ain't got enough, you ain't got enough. Well, that's because it's ran politically, and it's ran by patronage. I'll be able to tell you something about patronage, too, if Goldie ain't there, but I'm surprised Goldie got knocked off like that, because I was knocked off, too, immediately. But like I said, there's ways to look into every case. And you could look at a case this way and that way and turn it around. And you could look at how the lawyer's talking and what he's doing. And when you go up there, you set yourself up to change yours as he's changing his. Because a lot of times in a case, and Bill will tell you, they switch things on him. Well, when they were doing it with me, I would switch right back on them. And I would use what they used on me back on them, you know. And that would be the key. And then you'd bring it down to a level where they're not used to, and they don't know what to do. You can take them at any time. Now, nobody realized that there's somebody hired in the Supreme Court. Well, we can bypass the Supreme Court if they're not doing the right thing or not reading your stuff, because, first of all, you always try to put the First Amendment in every case, because the First Amendment is supposed to be heard all the time. That's why they made the other amendments. All the amendments are built on that First Amendment. Once you throw that one in, you're supposed to be heard on that one. And you got to remember, on that First Amendment, whether it's Shackman, like I had, okay, that was a ruse by them. They put it into a contract. See, that's the difference, what everybody doesn't understand. The Shackman was a contract that they would never do it again. The First Amendment, well, no, that's not a contract. But they gave me the First Amendment as a contract when I won that Shackman. So that makes me hold on to that Shackman. So they're going to have to deal with that. They can try to hold you out because it ruins the system and it changes the system in a logical lot of ways. Like Trump now is different. He's not a politician and he's not a businessman. Now he's sitting there, and I can guarantee he knows some of the Republicans are against him. See, he's no dummy. He's a smart cookie, you know. And he knows he's running it like a business. So basically he knows that it ain't just the Democrats against him. See, probably why they have no insurance plan or what they're doing is because they never thought they were going to win. They just sit there and every 2 years get their turn or every 4 years get their turn. See, it's a game. It's like played right out of Chicago. See, and you got to understand this game when you're going in, and everybody thinks it's run completely by the law. It's not. Bill, you want to say something, put something there, you get something there? Open up, Bill.
You know what I'm saying here? I found an article today, which is kind of funny, coming out of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, everything's funny coming out of Chicago.
Pertaining to Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office, and it says here, Attorney General Lisa Madigan's friends and family, $1 million patronage pay problem. She gave a $1 million patronage pay raise to the people around her, and I guess that the increases are kicking their ass, paying
right
off the family.
And we're bankrupt here, ain't it? Remember they said they're borrowing loans or making liens and doing all this and doing that? Oh, that's another thing about the lien. You know, you got to win your case to put a lien on them. A lot of these people are putting liens on, but you got to win first. And if you're really going to win and they're not putting a lien on, then you go to the attorney general and have him put the lien on for you. That's how that works, you know. So a lot of these people, they're talking about liens, talking about this and talking about that, and I'll be listening to them on you know, some of the shows that I was on and stuff like that, and they don't know what they're saying. I mean, they're not using it in the correct form, the correct way of doing these things. See, that's how you get them up against a wall. So basically, you go into there, your lawyer lets you go so far, and that's it, because he can only go so far. Don't forget he's a member of the Bar Association. So, I mean, he can't do everything for you, and nobody knows your case better than you. So if you hone up on a few things and look at how things are going, you should be able to handle that case just as good as that lawyer. You just bring it down to a lower level, because if the judge is supposed to help you now, you got help up there. So in other words, he's supposed to keep it fair and square, because the judge is just like a referee. He's nothing special. I mean, he's just the guy that got the job doing that stuff. And you try to make them rule on you right in the courtroom, because what they send you by mail might not be the right decision. See, everybody doesn't realize, you know, how the game is played, you know, and what they're going to do. Like, you can turn a lot of cases around. I mean, just by looking at it. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just giving you friendly advice just for looking at it and being with these kind of people. But you can look into a case and you can turn certain things around and see where things are wrong, and you can go on those things and win them. See, it's basically, but, you know, people got to give you time to look at it and study it out and, you know, not, you know, push too hard on you. So, you know, it's hard, man. You know, I mean, if everybody's pushing on you for, and you're only helping them, giving them answers, you know, I'm not a lawyer. It's just my opinion, what I'm giving out. You know what I mean, Mark?
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, we're just talking, and we're talking with friends and stuff like that. And when you do it for your friend, you can't charge. You don't charge any money, or you don't want anything special from them. You're just doing a favor, talking to a friend about what's going on. Bill, are you still out there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is me.
Yes, sir.
For someone to do a little bit of legal research, you can go up to Google and type in a scholar, S-C-H-O-L-A-R, .Google, and it'll take you to Google's legal search engine. And there's two cases that are very, very important in Eugene's case. And one is the U.S. or Smith versus U.S. District Court Officers. And the you just type in Smith versus U.S. District Court Officers and look for the case that's – there's three sites here for that case. It's 98-1423, 98-1423. The second site is 98-1548. That's 98-1548. And the federal site is 203F.3D440 in 2000. I'll say that again. It's 203F.3D440 2000. That was a decision that was made by Seventh Circuit Court Judge Posner, Richard Posner, and in that decision, he says the only official record is the audio tape, and that.
No, he's talking about the master tape, though, Mark. You got to remember that. There's two tapes or any kind of audio devices in the court reporter's thing, but they're not the master. The master comes from that microphone from the judge up there. That's wired. So, in other words, that is the court's property. And the only time you use it is when you got a significant thing that you can show there's fraud. See, so I do have that already. So the point is they'd have to answer that. That's why, because Duff says in there, he says, I can't give you your tape, because if I give you your tape, I got to give everybody their tapes, and they'll be playing them all over TV and on the radios, and he winks the channels. Bill will tell you that. Goldie will tell you that. Everybody will tell you that. So basically, he's informing me that I know what I got there, because when I won the case, the FBI even come out and told me, you know, has this happened again? So that's why I never really completely settled or took anything, because I know it ain't going to happen again. They're not going to make the mistake they were making. See, all the evidence that we have, it's not my evidence or them saying so. It's them, their evidence on themselves. See, that's the difference, too, what you got to understand. It's got nothing to do with me saying they did it. It's got them doing it to one another saying they did it. So, in other words, when they blackmailed, they changed the dockets, they did this, they did that. Now, in my case, it was so simple that we followed it from beginning to end, and boldly dug into a lot of stuff, and we did this. Is they had my case. I won the case on November 8 in 88. Then they came me back again. I came back in on 90, and then we brought the same doctor in because they found out that I was the only case that won like that, and they couldn't set that precedent. That precedent hurt them. And so they tried to get me in again, and then I went through 4 days again with these guys, and they were just trying, 4 years rather, 4 years with these guys, they were trying to get me to settle, to settle, to settle. It's just like in the Smith case now. I think that guy settled. You can use the statement from there, but you probably can't use the case because it's a settlement. It doesn't exist anymore. So basically, if I settled instead of winning this, you wouldn't be able to use what I'm telling you right now. See, that's how they have the courts all fixed up. Right, Bill?
Gotcha.
You can tell them some more if you want.
That is correct. The other case of significance.
I want to hold the thought right there. I have another guest that's coming on for the segment here real fast. This guy is doing some great stuff. I want to get him on. We're going to chit-chat a little bit. He's got a great group with him. If you guys want to just hold that thought, and we'll bring you back in after this segment, it would be great. I would love to have you guys stick around. Let me bring my friend in real quick.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live. 347-637-3942.
I have no idea. I'll talk to you that later, what I think.
He's probably mad at me.
All right, folks, welcome to the show. My friend, my newfound friend. Well, we've been chatting for a while since Kilroy Rising anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, Scott Kesterson and Team Ground Zero, welcome to the show, folks.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, good. First, before we get to Team Ground Zero, because that's amazing, I'm really digging Team Ground Zero. Ladies and gentlemen, wait till you hear about this. This is a great thing. This is one of the reasons for Expedition Red State to find stuff like this, like Team Ground Zero. But tell us a little update on Expedition Red State and the progress and what's going on, and then we'll bring on Team Ground Zero, because this is, folks, is really awesome. Team Ground Zero. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Scott.
All right, Mark. So right now I'm sitting down here in up near Bozeman, Montana, and I'm getting ready in. On Wednesday, I'm going to be heading north into White Sulphur Springs and on up to Great Falls, up to Shelby, and then on over along the Lewis and Clark Trail. I'm telling you, it's absolutely incredible the number of stories that I'm finding here on a lot of the locals. just people that have been around these small communities for a long, long time. Tonight I did an interview with Johnny France, if you know him. He's the sheriff that wrote the book Incident in Big Sky. And he's a traditional sheriff that went out and did literally tracking old school way and found and took care of a kidnapping with some mountain men. These folks have been around these small towns their whole life. There's a whole value difference. And a lot of what we're really, as you know, we're trying to do is to really bring highlight to what those deep values are in small towns and rural America that has made the foundations for America.
That's incredible, folks. And we're going to, when you're all said and done, are you going to put together an awesome documentary of your travels?
Yeah, I am, Mark. And what we're doing right now is we're starting to work on this and look at this a couple different ways. Obviously, I do 2 to 5 video stories a day. I'm doing usually an Instagram story on 10 photos about every other day. And then on top of that, we'll be doing some edited releases on Sunday programs. And then I'll be doing a segmented type, a summation of each leg. As you know, this whole tour was built on 7 legs, which was in honor of Lee's defeat of McClellan in the 7-day battle down in Atlanta. And that just speaks a lot to the impossible odds to overcome a superior force. And so each of these legs gets a kind of a summation video. And then at the end, we'll be putting together a documentary short to tell the story about this and to kind of continue this along. You know, the thing I hit this morning and I'm really highlighting, by the end of the summer, I did a soft launch in the beginning of the year of American Brand TV, which is all red state stories, red state values, constitutional education, commentary, and what goes behind the headlines. That was pulled back a bit so we could get a lot of the content ready. And so I'm going to introduce you to a minute, and the group I'm going to introduce you to in a minute is part of the reason we pulled it back was to find these talent sets across the country that can start contributing great stories to that platform. And so that platform will start to roll out near the end of the summer. The vision for the American brand and the way that I'm putting it now is we've got 62 million people that voted for President Trump, and we want to make this the most powerful red state platform organization in the country that literally when it speaks, the entire political group, the entire political body shakes. And so we're saying right now $10 for 62 million people turns us into the most powerful organization in the world. And that's the push we're doing for our fundraising as well.
Well, you know, they got Rally for America July 29th over in D.C. And that's the rally that Trump was talking about in his campaign when he said Trump supporters need to have a rally. So they have a rally, July 29th. That might be a good place to wind up and go head on over there and say, hey, look, we're, raising funds.
I'm going to let them handle that because everybody likes to go to the mall in D.C. I think it makes them feel good. We've got too many people out here whose voices aren't getting heard. So, hey, let me introduce you to so let me give you a little background real quick. I'm going to introduce Team Ground Zero. Is that all right, Mark?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
Here is part of the reason for Expedition Red State to find things like this in small-town America. Ladies and gentlemen, Team Ground Zero, what's happening?
Okay, so let me introduce Team Ground Zero real quick. This is a group of 4, and when I will say Generation Z, these are our future, folks. And now I'll tell you, when you stumble into a group like this, they're friends. They're from different parts of the country. They're all together right now. But they have such a true belief in this election and our president and all of this. They're not even vote. They didn't even get to vote in the election. This is the sort of energy we need and we need to empower because their voice needs to be heard. That's just something we're really going to elevate. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And then, Mark, why don't you just go ahead and do a Q&A with them, okay?
Sure, will do. All right, so ladies and gentlemen. Team Ground Zero, live on Patriot Nation Radio.
I'm Marco, and I'm from Tampa, Florida.
I'm Charlie, and I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
I'm Jackie, and I'm from Tampa, Florida.
I'm Will, and I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
Woo! Folks, I don't know if you know, but I am just north of Tampa, Florida. So we have 2 folks here from my neck of the woods. What's happening? And my father has an old friend from the Navy, lives in Bozeman, Montana. So we're all connected indirectly. Look at that. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Sounds good.
Wow. So, all right,
I was watching, and my good buddy Scott showed a really cool video of you guys. How did you become Team Ground Zero? And explain the video to let people know exactly what was going on in the video, and then tell us how you became Team Ground Zero.
Well, we're all friends. We've grown up together, and we all support President Trump and his views and his values and things like that. And we all of us don't like CNN news. We think they're fake and things like that. So we put together that video of us shooting a watermelon with CNN on it. And that's how we became that. That's how we figured out that video.
Nice. So they took and blasted a watermelon with CNN carved into it. Cool. They did the wrestling meme. They had Donald Trump body slamming CNN, and the world went crazy. Folks, I just want to let you know that that's probably a distraction by Team Trump, because the man is very smart, and he throws that out there. And the news media gloms onto that and runs with it like O.J. Simpson running from the police. And he does great things behind our backs. Well, we're not looking. He's doing great things and making America great again. And then we got young people like this. I don't know if it's cool to tell the ages of everybody. I know you guys are probably under the age of 18. Is that correct?
Well, Mark, they're all about 18 years old, right in that age. By the time we get the election year, they'll all be there. But I just wanted to mention one thing that's really important so people understand. We're talking kids or young adults here that are all top in their class. Okay, we're talking 1, 2, 3 top in their class. And that is, speaks volumes to me. And so I want them to talk a little bit about them and their perspectives on politics. So go ahead and go right back to them, Mark.
All right. So you guys obviously have paid attention a little bit to this election and stuff. Is it your parents who are influencing you politically, or are you just linking onto social media and digging for the truth yourself?
Well, our family has different views throughout, but we were pretty involved in the political process throughout the election, and we kind of just fell in love with Trump and what he stood for and just his entire message.
Yep.
So like, our family, we have some that we're mixed a little bit, so that's not the reason. We did our own digging, and I've supported Trump since he announced his running. He's a real person. He says what he thinks. And he supports the American value. That's what I liked about him.
Right.
And well, with my family, it's the same thing. Everyone has different views. But my mom and my grandpa pretty much helped my brother and I pay attention to politics and all this stuff, because when I was little, I wouldn't think that this stuff was really important. But then as I grew up, I learned that this stuff really is important for people our age to know and recognize.
I am so thankful that they are doing that for you, because it's important that youth of America today get the correct message about what's really going on. We've been being spoon-fed propaganda now for decades, apparently, and we almost lost our country. And I think that it's important that the next generation, the next wave of people that are going to become voters and taxpayers in this country, really, really, really understand where the truth is. And if you're not, when you're on social media and you're looking for news, what kind of news do you search for political news? Do you guys go over to Fox News? Do you search on the internet? I myself am an internet searcher. I don't trust any of the mainstream media outlets.
Well, I typically watch Fox News, because I think that's the most reliable news source.
In the internet, we all four of us also go to the internet and find our own digging that supports Fox News. Well, one of our classes in school this year was actually looking up news articles and checking those facts, and we found out that Fox News actually, most of the information was reliable, and CNN oftentimes had false information and or stretched the truth, and that's part of the reason we have such a big problem with them.
It's great to see people in the younger generation actually paying attention and using their minds and thinking. Thinking mind is very important, and you have to learn to think for yourself and think clearly and always listen for their side, your side, and the truth. Because somewhere in between our side and their side is the truth, and we got to keep digging and we got to keep reporting it. Do you guys talk to your friends that are your age? Do you, like, get in circles and sit around like the bonfire with
with acoustic guitars and talk about this? Or,
exactly.
Or you guys,
yeah, we have a lot of time we like to get together. And one of the things we'd like to get across is one of the points of our group is to distinguish ourselves from the millennials who sit around and I don't see do much work, and us, which is Generation Z, and we're the kids out there working, we're involved in our communities, and we're good students, and we pay attention to the political process. And these are the kids that need to have their voices heard, and we'd like to help them do that.
That is amazing. And do you guys have anything planned? Like, are you going to go anywhere and start speaking out as Team Ground Zero? Is there a plan or something you have that you want to do to bring awareness to your generation, to get up off the couch, put down the game controllers, and start paying attention and get to work?
Well, one of the ways we're going to get heard is we're teaming up with the American Brand, and we're going to start putting out videos and so kids can watch and know that their voices are heard, and hopefully that will encourage them to do things of their own. We currently took a class trip to Washington, D.C. We know the senator now, both of them, but we really like Senator Daines, and he has helped out the process, and we're going to do a lot of work and as much as we physically can to get our voices heard.
That is amazing. Scott, man, great work finding these guys, man. Holy moly, this is amazing. And this young lady.
I tell you what, Mark, I've said it a couple times on the program. You probably heard me say it today. I'm going to say it again tonight. I mean, with all the challenges we have, and I hear people a lot of times have this a fading bit of hope. When you run into this, this is the spark that Red State really needs to hear. And I just loved what Will just said, which is, you know, this is their own deal here and how they're visioning this. And literally, we're giving them access, getting them set up so they have pure access to our YouTube channel. I want their voice, and I want to hear what they have to say. I just want to be real clear here, folks. This is not stuff we're trying to manipulate or I'm going to edit through. This is their creation, their voice, and the most important thing is that not only is it getting their generation involved as a lead spokesman here, and we'll help facilitate that however that goes, but it's also very important that we as the seniors in Red State and the seniors leading this movement listen to them. I can't stress that enough. We have fought this fight for a long time. We continue to fight. We hopefully can provide some of the role modeling and some of the ideals that will help we continue to drive their energy. But at the end of the day, the future is theirs, and we have a small little army starting here. If I have it my way, we're going to have a whole massive army coming up by the next election. Keep in mind that all these guys here, their generation and years before them, anybody that's 14 years old right now is going to be 18 in the 2020 election, and that is the voice group that we need to really be empowering.
That's right, folks. If you're in the presence of 14 and 15-year-old kids at the pool party for your girl's sweet 16 party, start talking to them about upcoming elections and getting their selves registered to vote.
Mark, let me jump in here real quick. I really, you know, and I'm saying this honestly. Team Ground Zero is here as a connector, too. So adults out there, when you're talking to your kids and they're like, yeah, I got it. Point them to the YouTube page. Start letting them hear what Team Ground Zero has to say, because that's a communication that, I'll be quite frankly, is hard sometimes for a younger adult to do. But when you've got their age group talking to themselves, that's the most powerful energy we can create. And that's what the hope of what this is going to do is to help building that connection between their generation off the platform that we're building, and we can move that forward.
I agree. You walk up to a group of 16, 17-year-old kids and you look like me, old, gray, and wrinkly, and they'd be like, who the hell is this crazy old man talking to us? Get the hell out of here, pops. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really who the hell is this crazy old man talking to us? Get out of here, pops. Yeah, but I'm listening to Jay-Z. Don't you want to hang out?
So, hey, Mark, we've got a really neat video. It'll be up late tonight on YouTube with them. It's a far more involved. I got more footage for them, and it's pretty hot. So that'll be up later this evening. I'll know what happened yesterday. Some better shots of the CNN watermelon doing an implosion. And I also have to make sure everybody understands, just in case there's any liberals out there that are going to get triggered with the idea of guns, we did a complete military-level safety class before. All of the members of Team Ground Zero have been through gun safety courses, and they're very proficient. And most importantly, the only thing that was harmed was a watermelon we bought at a supermarket. Okay, so there we go.
You know, I could use a nice chunk of
watermelon. I'm sweating here in the Sunshine State. All right. Well, Scott, tell folks how they can link up with that video tonight and how they can link up with American Brand.
All right. So, hey, folks, listen. So we've got a YouTube channel. It's the American Brand channel. And you go over there, like the page. We're trying to really build the following. We want to get this up. These videos are public. You want to download them, spread them, whatever you want to do. I'm good with it. Just get it out there. That's the most important thing. And this video on our new great addition to the American Brand, Team Ground Zero, will be up tonight. You can also find it on Facebook on our live broadcast we did on it yesterday. Facebook is the American Brand. You can also find us on Twitter at Expedition Red and on Instagram at American Brand TV. And then, of course, for the bigger vision of this whole thing, go to theamericanbrand.org, theamericanbrand.org. Click You Love Us. Donate $10 because we're trying to do the most massive movement in the history of politics in the United States. 62 million voters, $10 a piece, will build the most powerful organization in the world. And if you're a liberal, I hope you're shaken because we're coming. That's all I'm going to say.
Team Ground Zero, guys, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. I'll be looking for the video. I'll get it up on the radio pages. And you can come on. If you want to come on the show, just get in touch with Scott. We'll bring you in anytime you want to talk about an upcoming video or something going on a YouTube channel. You got a spot.
Sounds good. You'll hear more of us.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it a lot. You have a great evening, brother.
Now, if you guys got a minute and 30 seconds, I'm going to play something real fast. You want to stick around for this next minute and 30 seconds because this is going to be my guest this Thursday, and then I'm going to bring Eugene back on. But this is going to be my Thursday guest, folks. Ready? Check this out. Here it goes. Come on now, play.
Well, my Friday's ruined. It's absolutely ruined. I get up. And I go and I turn on the news. First thing I see is Trump, not my president, Trump, shaking Vladimir Putin's hand. And I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, and then to top it off, Trump, not my president, taps Putin on the back. It was like a tap, you know. And I'm like, there is your collusion, people. Like, if you can't see that, seriously, if you can't see that, there's something wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with you. I mean, I should be an investigative journalist because I, and then, like, Trump, not my president, was looking at Putin, and he started blinking. He was blinking at him. And then Putin looked back at Trump. And he was blinking at Trump, and they were like both standing there blinking at each other. And it was like, oh my gosh, it's like Morse code. They're communicating. They're plotting for 220. And I felt so helpless, you know. Like I wish I could stop it. My Friday is just ruined. It's just my whole weekend's ruined now.
That'll be my Thursday guest, folks. We'll be melting snowflakes once again right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network and the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Going to be fun. Scott, thanks a lot.
Scott,
Team Ground Zero.
Thanks very much, man. We appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you soon, Mark.
Have a good night, Scott. Take care. Ground Zero. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having us on.
Peace.
Hey, Mark, was that for real, that lady?
Can you believe it?
No, I mean, really. I mean, she never was nowhere around Chicago. I got to listen to your show on Thursday. This ought to be a humdinger. Jesus Christ, she talks about collusion. Collusion's been going on since Kennedy got killed in here. They've been cheating and cheating and cheating. Where's she been? I mean, my God, she can't get a fair trial in this country. Jesus Christ. I can't believe there's people like that. That's got to be a joke, ain't it?
You got to tune in Thursday. We're going to have her on the show. The very lady in that video and on that.
Did she ever think they're blinking from the light?
Thursday. Do you want to find out all the dirt and you want to melt some snowflakes? Come on Thursday.
Mark, I can't believe that. Well, you had some great kids on there. You know, it's good because I remember when I was little, I was learning how to cheat. Younger than that. But I can't believe this, Mark. I can't believe what she said. What collusion?
It's great.
Collusion. You know, the collusion is here in Washington against us. I mean,
they were blinking at each other. They were blinking at each other in Morse code.
Yeah, yeah, well, they got to be looking at my transcripts. I got about 20,000. And Bill, is Bill still there?
Yes, I am.
How many dots and dashes were on mine? I mean, you'd think they were stealing the Nazi code for the submarines. Go ahead. What do you think, Bill?
There's a lot of missing segments of your on your transcripts. Whenever the transcript is going in type, and then all of a sudden there's a dash or a dot, and then it picks up again, something's missing.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, I mean, that's totally crazy what she was talking about. There ain't no collusion between that. Being Putin and Trump collusion on my transcripts? I mean, really? There's where your collusion is at. If you're losing anything, you're losing it from here, baby. That's what's happening. I mean, Jesus Christ, I wouldn't even worry about the Russians compared to these guys. These guys are stealing you blind.
There's people walking around the road. There's people walking around America who feel like that.
How? I mean, how could they not see? I mean, my God in heaven, Smart's a good businessman. He's not a politician. He's not a lawyer. He's got his own people who are against him. He's got to clean out that whole swamp. Man, it's been destroyed for years. Before I even knew
right, so,
this earth has been destroyed.
All right, so I'm getting ready to – I'm going to kind of wrap up here. And if someone wanted to get an official affidavit to fill out to – get their tapes and transcripts of their property. How could they do that? Where do they go to do that?
Bill, just tell them, Bill. You're a professional at this. Bill there?
Yeah, I'm here. I understand that Goldie has several copies of affidavits up on her website.
Yeah.
And someone can go up there and just kind of get a flavor for what you want to be able to do. What you want to do is basically – is to put your name and address, who you're addressing it to, and then under the penalty of perjury, I'm saying the following items. I request my audio tapes, and in accordance with Smith versus U.S. District Court officers, and you have a responsibility in accordance with the law to provide that. Now, they can deny you, which they probably will. And at that point in time, what you want to be able to do is ask for your audio tape. They will probably deny it. However, then you can go into court and says, I have provided an affidavit that I've requested my audio tapes. They have denied me and not allowed me to have it. The other side needs to answer this affidavit. Just like Gene says, the only answer to an affidavit is another affidavit.
Yeah, you got to answer the affidavit within 30 days. If you don't, then you're dumbed up. You just estoppled them. I estoppled them. I did all kind of things to these guys. They took too long to answer. My God, I beat them about 3 times. You know, they just didn't want to pay their debt. And they had a different agency in there, the Hubert Agency, Donald Hubert Agency. So there's a lot to the case that we could talk about sometime, Mark. We'll go over it and show you how they forged it all the way to the Supreme Court because they changed the number on the appellate thing that we caught them with now. Since they changed that, they made a decision on the wrong case. It wasn't my case. My case was taken out of there and hidden because they didn't want anybody else to understand that I had the First Amendment case and being the precedent case on that. There were no other cases used against me. And like other people got to realize, some of the cases they're using against you could be fraud too now. Think about that.
Right.
Some of the precedents they're using against you. We got to talk more about this. This is really gets down and heavy, you know what I mean? But you got to know what you're doing.
All right, so you heard that, folks. They could be using past cases as precedent that have already been frauded. So that means
Mark,
can't use that precedent in your case to make a decision. Is that correct?
Correct. Like Westlaw and Justine and that will eventually write them because they don't have the right answers to the end of my case. See, that's not it. What they got fraud up there. Now think about this. If you had a crime today, and my crime is like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, something like that, I have a brand new crime tomorrow because it's ongoing. Every day that it's out there and every day that it's in the library, it's a new case. I got a new case going on until they stop it. They've got to deal with it. See, that's the point, that they've got to deal with this case. And they don't want to do it because it'll show the fraud. And the point is it's ongoing every day. It's not an old case. It's not from 1988 or anything like that. It's from tomorrow, the day after, until they stop it. You know what I mean, Bill, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's on, and they won't answer it because they can't win it. They've been beaten every different way. There's no way they can win the case.
Right on.
They've been
established. Well, I got to wrap up here, guys. Do you have any of the titles of the pages? Because usually I write stuff down, but I haven't any of my notes here with the pages, and I don't know what where the pages are. If someone needs to find some information out, where could they go?
Bill?
The page, you mean in the book?
No, you know, on Facebook or, you know, a website where people can dig up information.
Oh,
before you had said Google.scholar, you could find out a lot of information right there.
It's scholar.google, and then you go to federal lookup cases, and then you type in Zorik, W-Z-O-R-E-K, versus the city of Chicago. And what will happen is that the federal case, there will be four cases up there that will describe what happened in Gene's case. The other aspect is there's a book out called The Death of the Justice System, and it's by Linda Aker. It's printed by Zulon Press, and it's available on Amazon.com, or you can go to Zulon, which is xulon.com, and it's available through them. And I just wanted to read you this one sentence by Judge Brian Barnett Duff. He was the Seventh Circuit Federal District Court judge in Gene's case. And this is Duff talking about the audio tapes. If you could get them, comma, then everybody in the world could get them, comma, and we will be playing them every night on Channel 7, Channel 5, Channel 2, and Channel 9, and Channel 6, and Channel 32, whenever they wanted them, period.
What does this sound like to you, Mark, that he knows something's up, right?
The jig is up.
The jig is up, dude. He knew it, too.
So we're gonna have to dig deeper into cases in the past that they're using to form cases against you that are already fraudulent, and
case in some other cases, even on the Blackfoot Indian Reservation in Cincinnati, Ohio. Those cases got to be tossed out, and you got to remember this: all the firms now. Hey, if we can help Trump with this one, if you get all the lawyers that cheated and take away half of the money they did for the cheating, you can put that into the health care for them. Get that done, and then when Trump gets everything rolling, then it could really roll. Think about that. Instead of going to jail, you penalize them their money that they used and cheated and frauded with, right?
Wow. Hey, we got a listener on the live feed calling it, watching in from Italy. Woo, we're global, folks. We are global.
What part of Italy?
What part of Italy, let me hold on. I'm typing him a message.
Ask him Napolitano.
Let's see. I'm going to ask him right quick. What part of Italy are you from, Mario? There you go. We'll get an answer here in a minute. Oh man, that's great. He's saying good morning. It's the middle of the evening here. It's almost 7:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the East Coast of the United States of America, Mario. I want to thank you so much for tuning in all the way from Italy. We usually have our friend Mandy's tuning in from New Zealand. Folks, last week's episodes had almost 2% of my listening audience from New Zealand. I mean, 2% is not a lot when you only have 5 listeners. But I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But hey, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on. He didn't say, he's just saying thanks. I probably won't be in Italy anytime soon, Mario. I don't get out much. I don't travel too much. Kind of broke, but you know, I travel down the street to the local corner store and get a gallon of milk. That's about as much traveling as I can do.
Adder pizza is way different out there, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow, guys, I got to wrap up. I want to thank you again for coming on. I want to thank Scott and Team Ground Zero. I want to thank Eugene Zorik and his friend Bill for coming on and giving us some information about this case, and we're going to keep delving into this little by little more and more so we could try to help people save their asses. Some folks have really got their backs against the wall, like our political prisoners. and their case starts July 15th. It starts right around the corner, and they're out there in Nevada, and they're getting ready to kick this case off. So we'll see. And always remember our political prisoners out in Nevada and those from the Malia Refuge and the things that are going on out there, because these guys are being railroaded. They're trying to make an example of these guys, and so that people are intimidated and are afraid to make a stand. You can believe that's exactly what's happening in the Bundy cases right now. You got paid agitators. They're crazy. Like 15% of the people were paid informants out there feeding information to the FBI from the inside, infiltrated. Folks, the Patriot movement is infiltrated. The government is infiltrated. We have been infiltrated by the enemy. It's pretty scary stuff, but it's okay because we're strong and we're America, and we will always be America, because there's people like you, there's people like me, and there's the next generation, Generation Z, Team Ground Zero. Folks, I want to say thanks. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, and I'm going to leave us here with this great song, ladies and gentlemen, from my friend. Head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com. This is the Star Spangled Banner, Dave Bray live a cappella from Pittsburgh. Good night, and God bless. Thanks for tuning in.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Tune in Thursday, 8 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time, we will have this young lady on the show who is talking about collusion and the Morse code signal being done between Trump and Putin. This is what these folks think out here and believe. We're going to have that Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. And, of course, I want to make sure you all tune in to Brian Lang and Live Truth Radio. He's got a show going on right this minute. I believe it's LiveTruthRadio.com. Head on over and check him out. He's got a great show going on right now. His show is a show without political correctness involved, a lot like many of the shows out there. Hold on, folks. I'm trying to do some things there. And also, don't forget my good friend, Pastor Sylvester Bland, and his show, the UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us. You can head right over to that site. He's got a show, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 days a week. Pastor Sylvester Bland and the United Saints of America. Good stuff. Tony Schwartz and Cave Radio Broadcasting. Keeper and Keeper's Mind Pool. I think he's still doing a show. Gillis Sliders show. Spread the word. Make sure you check out all these shows, folks. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Good night, and God bless the USA.